on DAB Digital Radio, Digital TV, downloads and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live with Tony Livesey.
Yes, good evening. It is Tony Livesey on 5 Live. Let's talk shopping centres. The companies that own some of the biggest shopping centres in the UK have reported a rise in customer numbers. Early this year, TV's Queen of Shops, Mary Portas, began a government-backed review aimed at stopping the decline of the high street in England. Jenny Coulshaw is with us. Now, when we're talking shopping centres, we're talking shopping malls, aren't we? Jenny's got a money minute now on how high streets are faring against these shopping malls. Are you ready, Jenny?
I am indeed.
Good, because I'm not. Hang on. I've got your money. I've got. Here, you ready?
I am.
Here we go.
Every week we hear a story about how the high street has been suffering in the consumer downturn. We, the customers, are watching our pennies. We're being hit by higher inflation. We're worried about job security. Shops are closing. Only today we heard administrators have sold the department store TJ Hughes. But the owners of some shopping centres don't seem to be noticing. Capital Shopping Centres Group owns 14 centres across England, Wales and Scotland, including the Trafford Centre in Manchester and Eldon Square in Newcastle. Hammerson's owns, amongst others, Cabot Circus in Bristol and the Bullring in Birmingham. They both say they're nearly full, with only about 3% of units not taken. Both are reporting higher rents. Even the number of people visiting is up, while the figures for the high street as a whole show a drop. Why? Well, some say it's because these companies own the most desirable retail space, and in difficult times, it tends to be those on the fringes that suffer first.
There we are. She discounted then a bit of the money minute. We've got a bit extra at the end. So it's essentially this: shopping malls versus the high street. And anyone who ever goes shopping will have an opinion on this. Where do you prefer to go? And what dangers are there for the high street at the hands of the shopping malls? 0500 909 693. Are they like giant black holes on the edge of town that suck in all the customers and ruin the businesses on the high street? Or do you think they're a force for good? 85058 is the text number. Let's hear from Pat Cambidge, who's the Commercial Investment Manager for Redcar and Cleveland Council in the North East. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Tony.
And Lawrence Hutchins joins us as well, UK Managing Director of Retail for Hammerson, who own Brent Cross and the Bullring, amongst other shopping centres. Hello, Lawrence.
Good evening, Tony.
Pat, first of all, you look after town centres in your area. How are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, we're breaking the trend. Obviously, we still have empty shops, like most towns in the area and in Britain. But we've got 8.8. I think the national average is 14. But you know, I just said there's a lot of people going out of town, and that's customers' choices. So high streets and town centres are not just about retail; they're about communities and lots of other stakeholders.
Yeah.
We have to change what we're trying to do to attract those visitors and our residents.
Well, that's it. You get a lot of people on the high streets complaining, don't you, about shopping centres, saying they've just nicked all our business. But I guess in a way you're trying to be positive there, saying high streets need to adapt. But what does that mean, not offering the retail experience anymore?
Well, I mean, I think the retail experience is part of that, because obviously the local shopper who can't travel to these malls or whatever, but obviously some of these shopping areas are soulless, and towns have more than just retail. As I say, we have a prospect to try and attract some of these big names to our town, but we're only a secondary area, so you know, places outside of us well are bigger, can attract some of the retail places because they get bigger footfall.
What do you have to do, Pat, to attract a big name store to your town? What sort of incentives do you have to offer, or is it just impossible to do that?
No, it's not impossible. I mean, obviously, as a council, we don't have it particularly incentives, and as obviously you know, now there's no money to be given anything, but we do a lot of work with the property owners of those properties, because most of those property owners, if it's empty, they're only no rent. And obviously they're paying stuff, so we work with them, the agents, and obviously have a prospectus to attract people there. Our prospectus tells what our people are about, and of course there's a mixture, so your town supplies those customers in your area. And if it's buoyant and has events and all sorts of other things besides retail, as retail, you attract the customers.
Okay. Lawrence Hutchings from Hammerson, you own Brent Cross and the Bullring. Do you feel sorry for people like Pat that have to maintain these town centres while your shopping centres are drawing the majority of customers?
Thanks, Tony. I think the point I'd like to stress is that the majority of our shopping centres are located in the heart of the UK's high streets, in the heart of the town centres, and in the big cities and major towns and built up urban areas. So we play a vital role in rejuvenating the retail within those town and city centres, to be honest.
So why are you saying that you complement the high street?
We believe we complement the high street. A city the Bullring in Birmingham, for example, has had an enormous regenerative impact on Birmingham city centre, and it's moved from a position where it used to export shopping pounds out of Birmingham to Maryhill and other places around the perimeter of Birmingham to a position now where, believe it or not, people go to Birmingham for shopping weekends. So it's been an enormous turnaround.
So do Hammerson's not have any out-of-town shopping malls then?
I think Brent Cross would be the closest to what we describe as an out-of-town, and then we own about 17 or 18 retail parks where you get the likes of B&Q and the Sofa Warehouse and JJB Sports, etc. So we've got a stake in both, Tony, to be honest.
Pat, what would you say to Lawrence? I mean, Lawrence, they're pointing out most of his shopping centres are in the town centre, but still they gather together the main brands, don't they, and they don't tend to leak out onto the high street. What would you say?
Well, I mean, as Lawrence and all those commercial people, they go to the big centres, so of course, the Bullring for Birmingham is one of those, but you've got to ask the towns like Walsall, Wolverhampton, those areas around there, as you know, they've got quite high empty shops, so it does suck those towns out. But as a town centre, as I say, is that most of those places are meant for retail. Town centres used to be retail, and obviously now people go on internet and go to malls, so the offer from a town centre has to be more than just retail. Has to be a whole spread of things to attract some of those shoppers, not just to go to the mall, but obviously come to the town and spend their money or spend their time, their dwell time, on lots of things besides retail.
Okay, Pat and Lawrence, thank you very much indeed. Give us a call, 0500 909 693. Do you have a business on a high street? Are you suffering? Or are you managing to buck the trend? Let us know how you're doing it. And what about you shoppers? Where do you prefer to go and why? Joining me now, Graham Swain, who's a broadcaster and a journalist, who more or less always goes out of town when he needs to shop. And Fiona Gibson's here, an author, who's a high street shopper, an avowed high street shopper. Hello, Fiona.
Hi there, Tony.
Graham, come on, what's wrong with the high streets these days?
Well, there's a lot of things wrong. I picked up what Pat Cambish was about. People tend to dwell in the high street. Now, that's what they're looking for. But the problem is they're still mainly 9 to 5. Now, a lot of people don't work 9 to 5 now. They work 24-7. They're freelance. They work different weird hours, shift work, you know, contract work, and, you know, things like that. The problem is, I mean, I went to a shop today and they were locking the shop at 4:30. I said, well, you know, he said, well, I want to get home the same time as everybody else. Why don't they open when people aren't working? Yeah. It's drab, a lot of the high streets, and that's the problem. And also weather. You go to a mall, as the Americans call it, and you don't get any weather.
Yeah. And so you like that full experience, the restaurants, the maybe a bit of a karaoke singer in the mansion.
You know, I mean, for instance, I leave the show here tonight and I can go shopping.
Yeah, yeah. Fiona, it is difficult, isn't it, to compete at that level?
It is, but I think there's something mildly depressing about shopping malls. I think that whole thing, you know, the weather kind of has been mentioned. There's that artificial atmosphere, the horrible lighting. Even if you stop off for a coffee, you know, and you kind of look out, you just look out into this weird kind of corridor with kind of people just mooching back and forward. And I love the experience of a town centre. I mean, not everybody's shopping. There's much more of a mix of activities going on, you know, buskers, people sort of shouting through megaphones, whatever. I just think it's more of a pleasant experience. And for that, you know, that out-of-hour shopping, there's the internet, you know, I think it's a much more kind of pleasurable experience to go into town.
But Fiona, why does it have to be out of hours on the internet?
I just mean that kind of shopping that you have to do at sort of 9 o'clock at night.
What's wrong with shopping in a shop at 9 o'clock at night? You go to Europe and they're all open.
I live in a small country town that's about an hour from Edinburgh and an hour from Glasgow, so I wouldn't expect to go out and shop at night anyway. It's either done in the daytime or it's done on my laptop.
But why not? In Europe, you go to a small village and shops are open.
I've got a local supermarket that's open till 10 in my small town, but I just don't feel the need. I don't want to be buying, I don't know, watering cans and bath towels at 10
well,
o'clock at
it.
Night.
I love being out there at 10 o'clock at night buying a watering can.
Graham, these shopping malls, as we call them, should we call them shopping centres in this country? I don't know, I feel a bit guilty now.
I think what America does, we follow, and we're all starting to call them malls.
Well, there we are. These malls, you pick anyone from 10, a permanent one from 10 across Britain, and they're all pretty similar, aren't they? Very little identity as such.
Right
we've got the
now,
same
Tony,
brands in. brilliant.
Yeah, I'm in the BBC Television Centre at Woodland, and right across the road, we've got a whopping great shopping centre, Westfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that is morphing into a real little O2-type centre, because they're now... I mean, I'm press and media, as you know, and obviously I go to a lot of press events. They're starting to do press events in the concourse there.
Yeah.
I was at a Brazilian tourism ball thing the other day. Fantastic dancing and fiesta and doobie-doobie-doo. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's what they're starting... They're starting to be an events place now, and just not just shops. It's events. Things are open till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
I
think
places are rocking.
I think I walked through there once and the Sugar Babes turned up.
Exactly.
Bizarrely, you know.
Rest my case.
Yeah, Fiona Gibson, this is it, isn't it? You know, the high street stores. I mean, you look back, beautiful pictures from the 1950s and 60s of many of our high streets, all individual family firms, all with their wares outside. Lovely, very evocative. It's just not the same now, is it?
It's not, but, you know, there are town centres that haven't fallen into that kind of generic thing. And even in, I mean, I've just been shopping in Edinburgh today, and even though there's all the standard high street shops, there's also lots of quirky shops that are one-offs that you just don't get in a shopping mall.
How, Fiona, would you hold back the rise of the malls? What could you do if you were king of the high streets?
I mean, it is a really tricky one. It is very difficult. I kind of wonder if people are going to start appreciating those niche shops again, because it's so boring, which, you know, you can be in Manchester, Birmingham, you go in a shopping mall and it's exactly the same. And I wonder if people are actually going to get a little bit sick of that.
Can I throw in a suggestion?
Go on.
Councils to reduce their parking fees, stop charging on Sundays and stop extending the parking hours to 8 o'clock at night or even midnight in some towns. You know, that's what's killing it for most of the high street shops. You can't park anywhere and pop into a shop in the high street.
And it's Jenny here from Five Live Money.
Hello, Jenny from Five Live Money.
And just the general cost as well. Independent shops, you will find on the whole, they have to charge more because they haven't got the economy of scale of the biggest shop. So it is cheaper. It's not that you just don't pay the parking. Mm. It's your towel is cheaper or your watering.
So all round, it's costing you a bunion to go to the high street, isn't it?
Round my neck of the woods, though, you know, your Argos's, your Tesco's, they've tried to come into town centres and they haven't worked, and they've disappeared as well. So I guess some of the big names are trying. They're opening up little metro brands here and there, aren't we? Listen, thank you very much, you two. Thanks for joining in tonight. I appreciate that. That's Fiona Gibson and Graham Swain. Do text us your thoughts on that, 85058. In the meantime, you're listening to Tony Lives In. It's 3 minutes to 11.